Perek Hey, Mishnah Gimel. From here until the end of the Masechta, which is just a handful of Mishnayos, we'll be discussing the laws of a Tchum on Yom Tov. Okay, and Tchum, we actually learned this in Masechta Erevin, but just to go over it briefly, Tchum is the city boundaries, meaning that generally a person could walk all around his city on Yom Tov, so it's like on Shabbos. This has nothing to do with carrying, this is just strictly walking. And not only can you walk around your city, but you can also walk up to 2,000 amos outside the city, both on Yom Tov and Shabbos. However, if a person wants to walk further than that, he has to make an Erev Techumim, which means he takes a portion, enough for two meals, and then he places it, for example, at the end of the 2,000 amos outside the city limits where he's able to walk, and that'll extend his walking permit another 2,000 amos. And he can do this indefinitely. So, just to recap, when he's in the city, he can walk anywhere in the city, Then he also has an additional 2,000 amos outside the city. And then if he places his Erev Techumen, say at the end of those 2,000 amos outside the city, it'll extend his area to another 2,000 amos of walking, you know, further. And you could do this indefinitely. So now we're going to discuss this concept, you know, regarding Yom Tov to a person and then to a person's possessions, like his animal or his clothing, how this is going to apply. So here we go. Habehema vehakelim, an animal, and kelim, here it's referring to clothing or utensils, karagli habailim, are like the feet of the owner, meaning just the same areas where a person is able to walk on Yom Tov, so too that applies to his animals and to his kelim, to his utensils, to his clothing, if they're being, you know, handled by somebody else, they can only go to where the actual owner is permitted to go. Hamoser behemto libno olaroa. And if a person gives his animal to his son or to a shepherd on Yom Tov, Hari Elu Karagli Habailim, we go after the original owner. And not like the feet of the son who's looking after the animal or the shepherd. For example, if the owner never made any kind of Erev Techumen, so he's limited just to walk within the city or 2,000 amos outside the city. But the son or the shepherd, they made an Erev Techumen to the east side of the city, giving themselves, you know, extra walking area. So the halacha follows that the shepherd or the son cannot bring the animal to that area where they're allowed to walk. Why? Because we always go after the owner. And since the owner of the animal is limited to walk just within the city, because he didn't make any extensions, so even if the son or the shepherd made an extension, they put an Erev Techumen at the end of 2,000 amos, giving them permission to walk another 2,000 amos, nevertheless, they can't go there because the animal goes after its owner, not after the shepherd or son which is watching it. Very interesting. And the Gemara explains that we're talking about a case where in the city there was, you know, two shepherds or more, and you don't know, you know, to which shepherd you gave the animal. However, if there's only one shepherd in the city, then even, you know, afal pi shelo masro lo, even if you only gave the animal to the shepherd on Yom Tov itself, we look at it as if the animal goes after the shepherd's feet. Okay? Because all the people of the city, you know, they place their animal in the reshus, in the domain of this shepherd. And it's mamash as if it's, you know, belonging to the shepherd. And it's as if, you know, from before Yom Tov, you know, you gave it to the shepherd for this purpose, and it'll actually go after the shepherd's, you know, walking permit. So the shepherd made an Erev Techumen, giving him an extra 2,000 amos to walk out of the normal, you know, city limits. Then it'll go after the shepherd's, you know, walking capabilities, not after the owner in this specific scenario. But otherwise, in general, even if the shepherd could go further, we go after the actual owner of the animal, and the animal can't go further than where the owner would be. Okay, next. Kelim hamiyuchadon la'echad, mena'achan shebebayis. If you have clothing, which is designated to one brother in a house full of boys, okay, harei elu kiraglav. It goes after that brother, meaning v'ma'ach achalovish, if another brother is wearing his clothing, he's wearing his shirt, so also lechas, he cannot go further than the owner of that shirt, that brother, where he would go. So if the brother never extended his area where he could walk, and the one that's wearing it did extend it, he can take his brother's shirt and bring it to an area where the original brother can't go. Same concept. V'she'en miyuchadin, but if the shirt is not designated to one brother, rather it belongs to all the brothers, then harei elu kemakom shehochen. What that means is that ein echad mehem rishai, none of the brothers are permitted to bring the shirt, except el makom shekol acham, unless it's a place where all the brothers are permitted to go. So if the shirt belonged to all them, then you can only bring it to an area where all the brothers are permitted to go. Aval an Erev Echad Mehem, if one of the brothers made an Erev, so let's say to the north part of the city, giving him an extra 2,000 amos to walk, but the rest of the brothers didn't, so then Hariyu Ma'akav Ayadam, so he could prevent, you know, the other brothers from carrying this shirt to that area. Milaholicham, to bring it, you know, to any area, to the area where basically, meaning like this, even if one brother made an Erev, extending his side to the north side, giving him an additional 2,000 amos to walk to the north, but the other brothers didn't, so we don't extend the walking permit, you know, the one wearing this shirt, to where that one brother extended his area. Rather, it has to be in a place where they could all walk. So it'll always go after where everyone could walk, and therefore in this case, even if one of the brothers did extend their area of walking, we don't extend the permit to carry their shirt there. Rather, it's got to be only in a place where all the brothers could walk. Mishnah Dalet, following the same theme. Hashoel kli mechavero me'erav yamtif. If a person borrows a utensil or a shirt before yamtif, so in this case, Keragli Hashoel, let's say he borrowed a shirt, he could actually bring that shirt to wherever he could go, not necessarily after the owner. Why? Because here he borrowed it before Yamtif even came in. So once he borrowed it before Yamtif even came in, even if he only received it on Yamtif, because the action of borrowing took place before Yamtif, so now it's literally like it's his, and we go after where he can walk, and not after where the owner would walk in this specific case. Because again, he borrowed it before Yamtif even kicked in. Whereas B'Yomtov, if the borrower borrowed this utensil or this shirt from his friend on Yomtov, then Karagli Amashu, we go after the lender, and the borrower can only bring it where the lender would go, like in the previous Mishnah. Because when you borrow it on Yomtov, we go after the owner. Whereas if you borrow it before Yomtov, then we go after the borrower. And the Gemara explains, even if this borrower borrowed from the lender every Yomtov, it doesn't matter. If he came on Yomtov, we go after the owner, which is the lender. And if he came before Yomtov, then we go after the borrower, and then he could bring it, you know, to where the borrower is going. Okay. Ha'isha, a woman. Shishal mechavreta, that borrowed from her friend on Yomtov, tavlin, spices for her stew, umayim and water, melach and salt, li'isasa for her dough. Hari elu, the pot, right, that has ingredients in it, and the yeast of the dough that has ingredients in it, is karagli shtehen, is actually like both of them, right? And then this woman can only bring it where both women are permitted to go. Why? Because both women have a portion in it. You know, there's the one that has the stew and the one that has the actual dough, and there's the one that gave her the spices. So they can only bring the dough where both of them are permitted to walk. And if one made an Erev and the other one didn't, doesn't mean that the other one could extend her walking permit. Rather, it could only be where both of them are permitted to walk. Rabbi Yehuda, poet of Ramai, Rabbi Yehuda exempts with water, meaning that She'ein Shema Baila, there's no name of an ownership on water that's being lent out. But She'ein Ben Mamish, there's no mamashish to it, there's no essence to it. It's not recognizable, you know, it's not recognizable in the dough once it's needed. So too in the stew, it's not recognizable. Therefore, the water is not ma'akev, eso lecha sa'isa, o atav shel makum shel bala sa'isa, o atav shel materis lelachet. Meaning, when it comes to the water, it's not going to make a difference, and the person that borrowed it can bring it wherever she wants, and it's not going to be dependent on the actual owner who owned that water. Because water is something that's not really recognizable. Whereas with the salt, Rabbi Yehuda will not argue, and he'll agree. They were talking about a case where the salt is it's thick salt, and it is recognizable, and it has an essence to it, and therefore the person can only, you know, go where both, the woman can only go where both women are permitted to walk, okay? Because the salt, they both have a portion in. But the water, if it was just water she borrowed, then she can go wherever she wants, the borrower, and she's not dependent on where the lender is able to go. Okay. That's Mishnah Dalet, and the truth is we have enough time to squeeze in Mishnah Hay, and this will make up for yesterday we missed one Mishnah, so we'll have two and two to cover it up. And let's go ahead and do Mishnah Hay. Hagacheles Keragli Habailim. If a person takes a coal, a fiery coal from his friend on Yamtif, he's not permitted to move it, not permitted to carry it, except for the place where the actual owner of that coal is permitted to go. Vishal Heves Bichal Makom. But if a person, you know, borrowed a flame, meaning he took his match and he put it to his friend's flame, and now he has his own flame. So that he's able to bring wherever he wants, because the flame has no essence to it, there's no entity to it, and therefore it's not like a coal, and he could bring it, you know, the borrower could bring it wherever he's permitted to walk, not necessarily where the actual lender was permitted to walk. So the borrower of the coal can only bring it where the owner of the coal can go. But the borrower of the flame, he ignites a flame from one candle to from his friend's candle that he can bring wherever he wants, because there's not really much, you know, of an essence to it. Similarly, Gachela Shel Hekdesh, a coal that belongs to Hekdesh, to the Beis HaMikdash, it's holy. Moal and Ba, if a person has benefit from it, he's obligated to bring a carbon Asham Mi'ilos to atone for his sin of having benefit from Hekdesh, from the Beis HaMikdash, wrongly. Vishal Haves, but a flame of Hekdesh, Lo Nanin, you should not have any benefit from it. On a rabbinic level, they prohibited it. But v'lo ma'alin, if you did have benefit from it, you're not mo'el, meaning you don't transgress the sin of me'ila, and you're not obligated to bring a carbon asher me'ilos for having benefit from the flame, because again, the flame is not like a real entity. Another case, hamotzi gachelas l'rishus rabim, a person carries a coal from a private domain to a public domain on Shabbos, chayv, he's obligated, he has to bring a carbon because he carried from one domain to the other. Whereas a shalheves, a flame, again, a flame that you carry from a private domain to a public domain. For example, like you push the flame, they say over here, or you blew the flame with your mouth. So pata, you're exempt, because again, the flame has no essence to it. Bor shel yachid, if there's a pit of water that belonged to an individual, then karagli hayachid, it's like the feet of the individual, meaning someone who's taking water out of that pit cannot go further than the actual owner of that pit of water. So if that individual, the owner of the well of water, can only go to a certain area of the city, so do the ones that take the water from it, even if they live at a different part of the city, and they've made an Erev, and they extended their walking area, they can't go further than the actual owner of the well of water. Whereas, Bishal Anshi Osair, if the pit of water, this well, belonged to all the people in the city, Karagli Anshi Osair, then people that take water from it, they're permitted to go up to the same area where everyone in the city would go, which classically would be up to 2,000 amos out of the city, you know, in every direction in the classical case of a regular city. Because everyone in the city, without making any extra Erevs, always have 2,000 amos, you know, out of the city to walk on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Vishal Ole Bavel, the pits, the wells that were made by the people that came up from Bavel, from Babylonia, and they made it for the people that were coming up, you know, for the high holidays to bring their karbanos, they made these wells for them so they could have water on the way when they travel. So those pits are karagle hamimale. We give it a din of the, that it's as if the one that fills it up, they go after him, and not after the actual people that came up from Bavel that built those wells. Meaning here it's different because anyone that draws water out of these wells, okay, the water is hefker, it's ownerless, and therefore you acquire the water and you become the new owner of it. So we don't go after the ones that actually dug it to where they can walk, but we go after where the actual individual pulled out that water. We go after wherever his walking permit is on Yom Tov, and he can go, you know, wherever he would go, in contrast to the actual owner that we've been discussing throughout these Mishnayos. And the Mishnah concludes that if a person drew water from this well, and then someone else, right, we say if he drew the water, he goes after his own feet, not after the ones that dug it, because it's ownerless. Now, if someone were to borrow the water that he drew, then we'll actually go after the one that drew it, and not after the borrower, because once the original person that drew it out of the well acquired it, now it's his, and therefore we'll go after wherever he would walk, and not after where the borrower would walk. We go after where the original drawer would walk. Meaning to say, a person may think that, hey, the water was ownerless, and, you know, Reuven just drew it from the well, so maybe I should go after where the well is, and I'll get extra, you know, walking space, depending on where the well is situated. But over here, since one person already acquired it from the well, we go after that person, and not after where the well is situated. So that's what it means. We don't go after where the well is situated over here, but after the person to draw it. And once that person drew it from the well and lent it to somebody else, the lender can't leverage where the well is and say, I have more walking space. But he goes after the one that drew it from the well. And since the one that drew it from the well has whatever area he has, and the one that borrows it from him has the same area. And that's the end of Mishnah. Hey, we'll stop it here. And that's the same theme, really, that we're just repeating throughout the Mishnah with a couple of exceptions, that generally items go after the owner of the item in terms of walking permit, and not after the one that's borrowing it. Unless he gets it from before Yom Tov, then we'll go after the person that's borrowing it himself, not after the owner, with the exceptions that we mentioned in the Mishnah.